Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome back to the More Than Hearing Feedback Loop, a bonus episode where we get to tell you about multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects from previous More Than Hearing episodes that we have actually used in worship and how they turned out.
In today's feedback loop, we'll be doing an end-of-the-year wrap-up for lectionary year A. We'll be touching on both illustrations and special effects we used in all eight intelligences identified by Dr. Howard Gardner. We've got a lot to share with you, an entire year's worth, so let's get started.
Back when we started More Than Hearing, we imagined that as we went along, we'd spend a little bit of time every week looking back on what we had done the week or two before and getting some feedback from folks about what they were doing and so on, and there would be a regular part of every episode to do the feedback loop. Well, didn't
yeah,
happen.
That's the intention.
Hasn't
that was
happened
the design.
So then we thought we'd do it on a sort of regular basis.
Which we kind of did the
we
first year.
We did for
year.
A while, yeah. And this year, not so
nope.
much. So we're doing a year in review, basically, and pulling out some of our favorite or greatest hits.
Well, the things that we tried that didn't go over like a lead balloon.
Things that we remember doing,
yes,
anyway.
Yes, that too. It's a whole year.
It's been a whole year. So it's been interesting doing this. And in my congregation, we've gotten to the point that people are starting to kind of expect there's going to be something on some sort of regular basis. Mm-hmm. I think with illustrations, they're not as aware, but with the special
right.
effects.
Right,
and
yeah,
I
the
do
special
a fair
effects.
Number of special
yeah.
effects.
Yeah.
That they're starting to think, well, what's he going to do?
Right, right.
And
I get that too. What are you going to do this time, Molly?
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I haven't been doing the special effects as much because there have been times when we do the show and I get everything written up and then I go look at the stuff and I think, I'm going this way with the sermon instead. So there have been weeks where I've done nothing with the information that we have provided with you. I've actually gone entirely different directions. But I have lately been disciplining myself to stick with what we did because these are good ideas.
They are.
And given, and most of them can be done with very little preparation. We're trying to keep that in mind too, as particularly as we come up with special effects, something that you can run out and buy that will help you demonstrate the idea behind this particular smart for your congregation. There may be times, and looking back over our stuff, if you go look for something at another date, there may be something that needs a bit more prep time.
Yeah, yeah. There
are some of
we
those.
We have some
but
grand ideas.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose if you use this as a resource, you can go back and look at that and have a week or 2 weeks out
yeah,
that
if,
you can
if
go
you
build something.
If you plan ahead better than we do.
Uh-huh, yeah. And if you do, and if you come up with something that is really spectacular, please let us know. We want to know about it.
Yeah, and that's another part about this is we would love to hear from you if you have tried any of these things. And even if you don't get much feedback from your congregation, just telling us how you think it went or mm-hmm. or if it worked for you personally,
mm-hmm.
that would be great. I'd love to hear from you. We'd both love to hear from you on that.
All right, what are we going to do today?
Okay, so we're going to go down through the list of smarts that we usually follow and just give our greatest hits, as we said, for each of the smarts. And so we'll tell you what episode it came from and which of us used it and how it turned out, basically. And so the list, you may recall, goes word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart.
Music smart, nature smart, people smart, self smart.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with word smart, as we often do.
Yes. Okay.
So Molly, you started our list off here. So
way
what you got there?
Back, I think, is ordinary 5. So that's after Christmas, but before Lent.
I think that is correct.
So this would have been January or February.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the text that we're using an illustration for here is 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1-12, and in parentheses, 13-16. The illustration that I used in speaking about the gift of tongues is there was a woman in one of the churches that I used to serve. Her name was Patty Roberts, and someone told me one time, she has the gift of tongues. And I thought, what? What do you mean?
Presbyterian?
And I know. And she said she can speak to the people in the community. She knows how to interpret what the church is doing for the people in the community, which really made a big difference because we had a lot of kids in that congregation. Unfortunately, not their parents, but we did have a lot of their kids. So we used that as an illustration. And that I saw people nodding their heads when I said that.
Mm. Okay, so you've also got the second one here, which is from Year A, Easter 3.
Oh, right. Yeah, this is one I wish I had used, and I was trying to figure out how to get it in. And it's possible that I did use it, I just can't find any documentation on it. It's from Luke 24, 13-35, about Jesus breaking the bread. And it's a special effect. It's a haiku, and it goes like this, written by Bob Eldon. Bread broken slowly, but is shattered knits wholeness. Recognize him now? I wish, I cannot say whether or not I used that. I really hope I did, but I can't say or not. So that's just a wish that I had done that as Wordsmart.
Yeah, we've got a couple items on our list here that are either wish or things that didn't show up in the show. So
right.
we'll let you know which of those it is.
And so then moving on.
Yeah, so Ordinary 12 in the Romans 6 passage, the beginning of Romans 6, I used an illustration. Actually, I think we both used this one.
I think we did too, but I know you did.
It was an illustration from Game of Thrones from the Iron Islands baptism where the candidates for priesthood
are held under the water
until they drown, and then they're resuscitated. And if they survive, then great. And if they don't, well, they weren't worthy, apparently. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that what's dead can never die. And that...
The idea of that is it made them fearless.
Right.
You know, they were very brave. I mean, they've died once. You know, what else can kill them?
Right. And the Romans 6 passage is Paul talking about having died with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I remember using the illustration. I'm trying to remember how it played. And I think there were some, you know, raised eyebrows. And it's like,
yeah.
Some,
right.
Hmm.
And then we have from Ordinary 16, Matthew 13, 24, 30, 36, 43. It's the parable of the wheat and the tares. And we had used a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Ha ha! See, I can say it now. I had real trouble with it back whenever it was we did this show. In writing in the Gulag Archipelago, we used this quote from his novel. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being, and who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart?
Yeah.
Kind of illustrating the idea of why Jesus had the master tell the servants, leave the wheat there. It'll be taken care of at another time.
Right.
I got
right.
a lot of, with that one.
Yeah. I think I might have used that one too now that you
Now that I've read it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go on now to iSmart, and Molly's on a roll here. She's got the next one as well. So we're backing up to Ordinary 3 and the Matthew 4 passage, which was the beginning of Jesus'
ministry.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, and this is talking specifically about Naphtali and Zebulun being so small and so insignificant. And so one of the things that we do frequently, or we suggest frequently as a special effect or an illustration for iSmart is to use maps. And I was poking around to see what I did with this particular passage, and I found that I used about 6 or 7 maps to illustrate where the land was and what it looked like. So it was kind of not only an illustration, but it also sort of bled a little bit over into special effect and that I actually had something to show people.
Yeah, yeah. For Baptism of the Lord, which actually was probably a week before Ordinary 3, I used something from Isaiah 42, which is one of the servant songs. And in the servant song, it talks about how the servant will be taking care of things that are damaged. And so it says he won't let a smoldering wick No, what is it?
A burning wick be quenched. No, it's a sputtering. Sputtering. Smoldering.
Smoldering wick.
Flickering. About to go out.
It won't quench a smoldering wick.
I think
that's how it goes. Anyway,
A dimly burning wick he will not quench.
Dimly burning wick or whatever. So, depending on your translation. So, we had suggested using a trick birthday candle for that, and that's what I did, and found that you have to let them burn for a certain amount of time before they will
start
back up again.
Yeah.
So that meant lighting it and talking for a while it was lit before I could burn it, before I could blow it out and have it come back on.
Right. And that worked out. That worked really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it came back and in such a way that it kind of seemed like you had timed it.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that you hadn't, but it kind of gave that impression that, and here it is again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it worked really well, I thought.
Yeah, I think so too. And people were like, ooh,
gotcha. Ah, there it is again.
Oh, it's back on.
Yep. Kept their attention.
Yep.
As did this next one that you used on Ordinary 26.
Oh, yes. So this is much later in the year, obviously. And this was in Philippians 2. And this was the Christological hymn and Jesus emptying himself and becoming human. And we had suggested using the tornado tube with a couple of bottles and have God on top and human form
on the bottom.
On the bottom. Mm-hmm. And so we tried that. We tried it with...
You tried it with a variety of different bottles.
Yes.
And they didn't it took a while work. To find the ones that would actually work. Yeah, I remember
I was trying using juice bottles that were square.
Right.
And that doesn't work.
No,
And I couldn't get the lids to stick together either. Mm-hmm. I had tried glue and melting them and plumber's putty.
That's what that's sitting out there for. Yeah. That's why that's there. Guess what hasn't been put away yet?
Okay. So finally managed to find a couple of 2 liter bottles or 1 liter bottles. 1 liter bottles, yeah. Actually, they were. And I duct taped the mouths together.
Yeah.
And that finally worked.
Yeah.
So we actually have video of that one on the Facebook page.
Yeah, so go find that one.
See me playing with it after the service.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in Ordinary 29 in Matthew 22, where Jesus is asked if it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not, we had this idea for a special effect to show how paying taxes to Caesar is encompassed within giving back everything to God, and had suggested using different size embroidery hoops with Caesar on the smaller one and God on the bigger one, and showing how Caesar fits inside that. Well, I didn't actually do that, and I wasn't actually even planning on using this particular special effect. It just seemed that, hey, I've got this idea as I was preaching that this idea will demonstrate this. And so I just took a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper and drew circles on it. So I mean, that it was kind of I wasn't planning on using it, so it was a spur of the moment decision to do it, and it worked that way. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have something that I'd had to go to a craft store and, you know, purchase and work up. I just used paper.
And your pencil. Congregation is small enough that they could see.
Yes, exactly. That is like an advantage of having a very small congregation. Sometimes you can just write something on a piece of paper and show it to them, and they can see it.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't have worked for. It might have worked all right with yours if you'd used the flip chart.
Yeah.
A bigger congregation, no, it wouldn't have worked unless you had some sort of access to overhead projector that you could have done.
Right.
And then we have another special effect that did not make it into the show. It was an idea that came about afterwards, and David did it.
Yeah, we went off lectionary for a couple of weeks at our church because we were doing a series for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And on Reformation Sunday, I was talking about the church, how it's splintered and fractured and atomized, mm-hmm. And yet is still one church. And mm-hmm. so does it have any sort of power? And so I compared the idea of a solid block of stone or rock or something, and the power that that has versus, say, talcum powder mm-hmm. or baby powder. And got the idea to set the powder on fire because, you know, I love playing with fire in worship. And so
it's a miracle your church hasn't burned down yet, honey.
Yeah, the clerk of session in my first church was a fire chief, and he would be appalled. But anyway, we tried it out, and it took a couple of shots. I had practiced it the night before, and it had worked. But in actually doing it, I kept dumping the powder onto my lighter, which did not work.
It doused the flame.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you had to get a little further out so it had more room to expand.
Right, but not so far out that it wouldn't get it, and you're dumping powder all over the floor.
Right.
Yeah, it was a timing issue, which you eventually got, and it lit.
Third try.
And there is also a video of that someone has.
There is, yes. That's also on the Facebook
page. I'm not sure
where that
is. Is it on the Facebook page?
Yes,
oh, cool.
It is. Yeah.
That's where I saw it. Duh.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to head on to math. Now, Math Smart is not only using numbers, but also using logic and rational thought. And so we've got a couple, four things that we did. So David's going to start with ordinary four.
Ordinary four, we got into 1 Corinthians. And this is the passage where Paul is talking about the cross, that the Jews and Greeks think that the cross is nonsense or a stumbling block. And he said, no, it's the power of God. And so with God, it becomes a positive thing instead of a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about in terms mathematically of absolute value.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drew the graph for that, which mm-hmm. ends up being, you know, all positive values. And we have that on the episode page in the show notes. So you mm-hmm. can go back and look at, actually, you can look at all of these in the
right.
show notes if you want to.
Right.
That turned out okay, I think.
Yeah.
Anytime I do math stuff like that, there are some people who just go, math, don't talk to me about math,
right.
you know,
right.
but some of it's helpful. I think that one worked.
Yeah. And one of the things about presenting math, using math as an illustration or a special effect, is you speak of it in terms that you can understand. And if you can understand it, then your congregation can understand it.
Yeah. Unless you happen to be, you know, like a math professor or something.
And if so,
like that.
What are you doing in ministry?
Well, yeah. Right. No. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Anyway.
Ordinary 17, honey.
Ordinary 17 was Romans 8, and this was the classic passage at the end of Romans 8, and what can separate us from the love of Christ? Well, hardship or distress or persecution, nakedness, peril,
sword,
all those sorts of things. And we had talked about putting those on labels on boxes and stacking them up and then hiding them under another larger box is the love of Christ. And
mm-hmm.
did that one too and used, I ended up using a couple of VHS.
Oh, videotape. Yeah, the VHS.
Yeah, videotape boxes taped together, I think.
Mm-hmm. Two together
enough.
To make a kind of a flat.
A nice, big, flat, thick
yeah.
box. And stack those all up.
Using each of those particular things.
Right. And had printed out the labels, and I mm-hmm. used Impact, I think, for the font. You know, something nice and big and bold. And ended up with a stack that was a little over 2 feet high
mm-hmm.
that way. And then used a trifold presentation board that had love of Jesus on it and put that around it.
Right,
I didn't
right
have
down
a box.
In front of it. Yeah,
yeah
worked really well. Excellent visual. Excellent
yeah,
visual.
And somebody took a picture of that one too. That's also on the Facebook page, I think. So,
well, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, none of mine will be on the Facebook page because nobody in my congregation takes pictures or thinks
well,
to.
Well, you got to start, once you get into the flow of it, maybe,
I guess so.
Or prompt some people.
Also Ordinary 17, in Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God being like, and in one of those particular parables, he talks about it being a woman who takes 3 measures of flour and makes bread and puts yeast in it, and it grows and, you know, blah, blah. Well, we did the math of how much 3 measures of flour would actually make. Hint, a lot, like 52 loaves.
Yeah.
So we talked about that and about the abundance of the something so small as yeast and how using a little bit of that can feed so many people. I'm not sure if we actually had, that was the day we were doing our dinner or not.
Mm.
Would have been awesome if it was. I'd have to go check.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Ordinary 24.
Yeah, so Ordinary 24 was still in Romans. It was Romans 14, and that was the one about people who eat stuff and people who don't, and people who mark the days and people who don't. And we talked about the Venn diagrams of those different items and how to collect them. And I used my flip chart and drew that Venn diagram. And that played really well,
too. It did. I actually had somebody say, oh, I needed to hear that.
Oh,
at yeah. fellowship afterwards. Yeah.
yeah.
That was very helpful to hear.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me.
Yeah. So I guess the message that went along with it helped.
Yeah, I think so. But, yes, it did. It did. Yes. But seeing it, someone said seeing that really helped.
Okay. Good. Yeah. yeah.
Okay. We're going to move on to Body Smart now. And Body Smart is the kinesthetic intelligence where people who use their bodies, taking in information and processing information physically through their own person. So we've got one from Ordinary 2 that David used.
Oh, me again.
Yes, you
okay.
again.
So Isaiah 49, and this is another of the servant songs, Isaiah 49. And the idea was that the servant is like a trick play that the coach prepares all season but never uses until the Super Bowl. And a couple of other things that are like that. The special knife the chef keeps and never uses until he's preparing for his daughter's wedding feast or something mm-hmm. like that, right? So it's a very special thing that gets held out till the end. And so we use that illustration. And, it's hard to measure some of these, but you get a sense sometimes of folks kind of connecting with you on it. And mm-hmm. and that was one that I kind of felt like people were like,
hey,
oh, yeah, that's cool.
Right. And then we both use this one, a special effect for Ordinary 14 in Matthew 11, when Jesus says, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you. And so we did a special effect where we had a wheelbarrow's worth of big, heavy rocks or equivalent in a box or on a tarp in the sanctuary. And what we wound up doing is we took rock salt or the softener salt that we use for our house and got
gallon-size
freezer bags and filled them up and so that they were kind of flat. They kind of look sort of like paving stones. And we had about 8 each. And we each had our own bag. So it was 40 pounds of this stuff. And I labeled mine with all the different things that would burden a person. Variety of things. Anything you can think of that would weigh somebody down. And,
anxiety, grief.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Things like that. And so as I talked about them, I would toss one onto the tarp and then I'd toss another one onto the tarp and I'd toss another one onto the tarp. And then I'd say, and then we're supposed to live our lives with this. And I tried to pull it. And then what we did was each of us had a harness with ropes and
well, we'd gotten some what do you call those things?
Tie downs,
yeah. and
so,
tag alongs, or
yeah,
the ratchety things.
Yeah, so we tried to make harnesses out of those. It probably would have worked to have done a little bit more on that ahead of time because it didn't really work very well for me. I wound up just pulling it, but it illustrated the idea of being weighed down and Jesus yoking up with you and helping you.
Yeah, because using the harness helps in moving it if you're going to move it for any distance.
Length of time.
We ended up running that through the straps of a backpack.
That's right. That's what it was. I knew there was something on it.
That's what made for the harness.
Right.
And it was a good bit of weight. Now, when I did it, I held them up and I just held them as mm-hmm. I stacked them up.
Mm-hmm.
And people were confused because they thought
they were marshmallows.
Marshmallows or cotton balls in there until I got to the end and I dumped them onto
the tarp
altogether and went whoomp.
Yeah, people went, ooh.
Oh. That's something else again.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And I kind of wished I'd talked with you about this, because that would have worked really well for what I was doing.
Yeah.
But they understood
that. And the way
that
you did it would have worked better for me. Probably.
Right. Exactly. So live and learn.
Yeah. Oh, and with the tarp thing, I dragged that thing all the way around the sanctuary. That was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get it moved.
That
very
was
far.
Really heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For an illustration for Matthew 14, 22, 33, for Ordinary 19, we used as an illustration the movie Facing the Giants, where the coach in that movie challenges a student named Brock to do the death crawl. And the idea of doing this, and it's a really, if you go find that section, I think we actually have it linked in the show notes so you could see it.
Video.
And we use this as a way to illustrate Jesus' rebuke of Peter. It wasn't necessarily so much that he was, you know, chastising Peter and making him feel small. He was saying to Peter, you had it.
You could do this.
And he got distracted by the stuff that was coming at him and lost courage. So the illustration of this movie with Brock doing the death crawl is the coach continuing to be on him, and distracting him from what he was doing. So if he kind of...
Well, no, he's pushing him. He's like, give me more.
Right. Yeah, but he's distracting him from the fact that he doesn't know where he is on the field. Should we spoil the clip?
Yes, because so Brock is blindfolded doing this crawl on his hands and feet, not his knees,
with
carrying
another kid
a guy on his back.
Right.
And the furthest anyone has ever gone, Brock goes like 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And so the coach blindfolds him and says, you keep going as long as I tell you until you got nothing left.
Right.
And he keeps going.
Yeah. And he goes and he goes and he goes and he goes. And then he says, give me three more. 1, 2, 3. Okay, you can stop. And then he makes him take off the blindfold and he's gone the entire length of the field.
Yeah. With this guy. And he said, and you did it with
this 140-pound kid on your back.
Coach, I weigh 160. Yeah. There, totally spoiled it.
Yeah. All right. For Ordinary 22, we both did this one.
Oh, yeah.
As an illustration from Sunday's Coming from the Christian Century, a blog post called The Body Arcs Away by Amy Zietlow. She used to be a dancer, she was a ballet dancer. And she talked about a particular dance move called renversé,
where you lift your one of your legs out in front and then you whip it around behind while facing forward and trying not to fall over and keeping your balance. And as your foot whips all the way around, like almost 270 degrees,
mm-hmm.
right, then it. When it finally comes down, the rest of you snaps around,
right.
And your head comes around last.
Right.
And so you're in this entirely different orientation. But at one point, you're facing two different directions at once.
Mm-hmm.
And
we use this to illustrate Matthew 16:21 with the idea of repentance, of turning.
Right. And so we both ended up doing it as a special effect and trying to do a renversé. Having tried to learn it from YouTube.
Yeah.
Right. And doing it in the pulpit gown. So,
well, you. Yeah, yeah. You're in the pulpit. I don't wear a pulpit robe, but I did have a table behind me that had a lot of paraphernalia of our church's centennial celebration. You know, so all these notebooks and photo albums and things. And so I eventually just rested my foot on it. 'Cause I was falling over a little bit.
Yeah. So anyway, that turned out pretty well, and everybody was impressed with our prowess at...
well, you were.
at trying to do a little ballet.
And then the last one we have for Body Smart is for Ordinary 27 from Matthew 21 as an illustration of the stone that the builders have rejected and the tenant seizing the slaves. It's the parable of the landowner who planted a vineyard and his son was killed by the wicked tenant. And then the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone for an illustration about the violence of the parable. the ugly that is in this particular parable. We found an article that talks about how stressed out people revert to coping skills of the toddler brain in that particular circumstance. So we illustrated the idea that maybe the workers or even the master reverted to a toddler brain, just was totally stressed out and was not making good decisions. So it was an interesting idea, and I spent more time talking about how the toddler brain seems to be rearing its head in pretty much everybody in these days.
Yeah,
and I got a lot of
Yes, yes. So going on to Music Smart, we discover that we hardly ever do anything with Music Smart.
Well,
My
defense is I have someone in my congregation who picks the hymns for me, and she loves to do it. It's kind of a ministry of hers. I don't want to interfere with that. That's a decision that I've made.
Well, but I mean, even beyond that, as we were going back reviewing all our worksheets, we don't have a lot of stuff for Music Smart other than recommending hymns. And
every once in a while, a popular song or something.
Yeah, but, you know, in terms of things to light up the Music Smart. Now, admittedly, there's lots of music generally going on in the service, mm-hmm. so it's kind of like Word Smart in that respect. So I don't feel too bad that we've neglected it, but I think maybe we'll try and look at that in a different light for the coming year and see if there are ways we can...
And another way that you can, this is something that maybe we could think about doing once we finish the 3-year cycle, is to go look at the Psalms, because the Psalms are the ancient hymn book. And so there's a lot of music that can be done with those.
Right.
So if you're looking for more Music Smart ideas or inspirations, go read the Psalms and see what you can come up with those. And we'll catch up to you in about a year.
Yeah. So we only have two items here, and one of them we didn't even do. So... So one of them's a wish, and that was Easter 4, and it's from the Acts 2 passage about the nascent church and the marks of the church. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of illustration and special effect that the events at Pentecost in the church is a remix of God's promises to Israel, mm-hmm. that they're actually doing what God had been saying all along, but just in a different key, or with, you know, bringing a couple of different things together in a different way. So it's the same song, different sound, mm-hmm. is the way we described it. Mm-hmm. And I really would like to use that. And then the special effect part would be to
actually play
some remixes, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so that, I think that kind of thing is maybe where we want to head with Music Smart, is because it's not a specific song to include in the service, but mm-hmm. a way of using music.
The story musically.
Yeah.
Right.
So that sort of thing.
And there is, I did use in Ordinary 30, so this is just a couple of weeks ago, in Matthew 22, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? I used as my sermon title, The Greatest. And so I was referencing a lot of different things that we consider to be great or greatest, and there's a State Farm commercial that is out. I haven't seen it lately, but it used the theme song from The Greatest American Hero. And so... Sorry, I've just given you an earworm, haven't I?
Just really never liked that song.
So I use that as a way of illustrating the idea of the greatest. And I sang it, so ha.
Yeah. Poetry also works for Music Smart and rhythm.
Right.
And we've done a few rhythm things.
Yeah.
In spite of my being rhythmically challenged. But we have done a few. We just couldn't come up with them for the show today. So anyway, don't despair, Music Smart people. We'll be along. Well, let's look at Nature Smart then, because we do have some things that we did there. And so looking back to Lent 1 and Romans 5, and so this is talking about sin that gets into us, and it's the beginning of Paul's discussion about sin, which takes like 4 chapters or something. Mm. Three, mm-hmm. Well,
many.
Three. Mm-hmm. Five, six, seven.
Long argument.
Five, six, seven, he gets into sin. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we recommended an illustration based on something from Beverly Gaventa, who talked about the scope of our thinking about sin, and that it tends to be very much smaller than the cosmic nature that Paul considers it to be. And so we suggested an illustration. I don't know if, did we come up with this or did she? I don't remember exactly which way that worked out. But the idea was that sin, we tend to think of sin as raccoons that get into the garbage, but it's, from Paul's point of view, it's Godzilla tromping through Tokyo. And we go out there with our pellet gun. And yeah,
right, yeah.
and
Godzilla doesn't even notice.
Right, yeah. Yep. And so I had used that one, and I had fun with it anyway. And mm-hmm. I think that's part of this, is that if you get into it, you know, then that helps
a lot, very much.
And people connect with it because you're connected to it.
Right.
And so, and I think on that one, I was having enough fun with it that people were like, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. I get that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The next one is from Lent 5, John 11, 1 through 45, talking about the light and the dark that John uses throughout his gospel. This is the story of Lazarus' resurrection. And Jesus is using light and dark as metaphors for the decision that people have to make about Jesus and how they orient themselves toward him. So we use that idea of orienting toward Jesus and talked about heliotropism, which is what plants do when they are orienting themselves toward sunlight or even light, which is phototropism. So we use that illustration from nature to talk about how we orient toward Jesus.
How did that one go?
It worked really well. As I was talking about it, I actually kind of did a little bit of body smart and moved my arms as though I was tracing the course of the sun. So people paid attention to it.
Cool.
And then for Ordinary 22, for Exodus 3:1-15, where God calls Moses through the burning bush, we used as an illustration a Venus flytrap and anglerfish, with the idea that God was luring Moses over because he had something specifically that he needed him to
shiny,
do.
Shiny.
Yeah, he was baiting him. Come on, Moses, come on. But he wasn't going to eat him. He just had something he needed to do. So people like that one, especially when I said God wasn't going to eat Moses.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
Right.
Although I suppose Moses wasn't entirely sure.
Well, that could be, yeah.
And there may have been times when he felt like he had been consumed. I don't know.
Indeed.
We both use this next one from Ordinary 28 on Philippians 4, which is rejoice, the Lord is near. And we talked about the solar eclipse that had happened in August and that sense of anticipation. Mm-hmm. So we just talked about how as we were watching the eclipse and the sun was disappearing and totality was coming closer, that there was this cheer that went up from all the surrounding area.
Yeah.
And this joyous shout.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That
was amazing. I was thinking about that just the other day, and I got weepy. It's like, oh my God, so many people, we were being blown away by what we were witnessing, and we were united in witness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were just all, it's like, we've been waiting so long for this, and here it is.
And here it is. Wow!
And
it was spectacular.
It was. Yeah. It was. And I have no idea how the illustration went in the sermon.
But me either, because I was just blown away by it. Yeah, I know. Me too.
Again, I think the sense of awe that we had at that experience and trying to convey that to the congregation, they have a sense mm-hmm. of that, and that's what they connect with.
Right.
Again,
right.
Is that how connected is the preacher to the material?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
For People Smart, we're going all the way back to Advent 2. This is actually, I wish we'd done this.
Yeah, I really do.
From Isaiah 11, when we're talking about
The peaceable kingdom.
Yes.
And the different animals lying down with each other.
Right.
And we had suggested...
Well, we had suggested doing this as a special effect of making masks, actual masks of all the different animals, and have children or members of the congregation play act the second paragraph. And as that passage is read, pairs come from different sides of the chancel, acting as though they are that animal, and then meeting in the middle as friends with a big group hug. And we thought you could probably also include the stump of Jesse and the shoot that's coming out of that as well. Somehow. We don't know. We didn't do it.
Didn't do it. I'd love to do that. I think it would be.
But we put this in people because it's the idea
of the drama.
Of the drama of it, and also of the idea of relationships being made through God.
Yeah. Then the next one was that we wanted to tell you about was from Lent 1, and this was Matthew 4. This is the temptation, and we had suggested an illustration special effect of doing an interview with Jesus after the wilderness experience, as if you were doing a sideline interview at a football game or something. And I actually did that in the sermon, and I was a little hesitant about it, because then I'd have to be playing Jesus, because I did it myself. I did both sides of the thing by myself. But it actually set the tone for the whole of my Lenten series, which was the Jesus interviews.
Yeah.
It was the series. So that kind of set it up. And so I did this sort of, and I cloaked it a bit and said, you know, I don't want to play Jesus. I don't want to put my, you know, blah, 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 blah. But if I were going to, it might go something
like this. It would
look
like this. Right.
And I don't know. You're always there, so you can tell me how it plays.
I thought they went well.
Yeah.
That one, I think the fact that you were kind of about playing Jesus kind of damped it down a little bit.
Yeah.
It didn't go as well as it could have. And I think it's because, as you have said, you weren't fully engaged with it.
Yeah.
If you had just gone, blah, I'm Jesus, and, you know, and done it and, you know, forget about what anybody else is thinking, it would have had a lot more oomph, I think.
I think you're right. Yeah. I would agree with that. That's kind of how it felt.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a little flat. Would be really cool, but you know, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, you kind of cut the knees out of it when you backtracked on it like that. You know, so that's one of the things about doing these things too. If you're a little ambivalent about it, it's going to show.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, once I got into it,
it was a lot better once you started.
I got into it.
You know, yeah, but you started out a little shaky.
I apologized for it before I started, basically. And
yeah,
you shouldn't
don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. So if you're going to try this stuff, just do it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
And then Ordinary 3, Matthew 4, 12, 23, talking about the calling of, or the call of the fishermen. There was an article written by a guy named Peter Bynum, who was saying that in the Greek, the best translation for Jesus' call to the fishermen is, come on, come on, which made David think about a particular scene from Animal House. So I use that. I don't know if I actually used the scene from Animal House, but I know I used the thing about the Greek translation, and I wound up using it as a way for my sermon title, which was Kingdom Come On. So I had to really try not to do it the way Joe Bluth did it, though. Come on! Instead, like John Belushi, come on! So anyway.
You should see the faces that she's making with that. It makes a stark distinction there. You know, so.
Someday we'll have video to these things too.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. What's the next one?
One more for People Smart. In Ordinary 25, not too long ago, we were looking at Exodus 16, which is the story of the manna, the giving of the manna the first time, and trying to figure out what is it. And I had a story about my dad and his friend Mitch going out to play golf, and Mitch would always have these various things that he would find in the woods that he'd want Dad to eat, you know, mushrooms and berries of various sorts. And so, Dad,
why did Mitch hate your dad?
He didn't. And he know that, and we know because Dad would always say, "You try it first and then I'll eat it." And Mitch would eat it and then he would. So that was the story. And that got a lot of grins and a lot of connection. And I think helped with that idea of, you know, I'm supposed to eat this,
yeah.
You know, the manna. So yeah. It's like, what?
What is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was fun.
And then for our final intelligence is self-smart. Again, we have said repeatedly throughout the almost 2 years we've done this podcast that self and people kind of bleed into each other a lot. And self can very frequently come out of people.
If you're an introvert, you really want that.
Exactly.
The self away from the people.
If you're an extrovert, it's like, people! Yeah. Yeah, you can always tell who the introverts and extroverts are, but between the people and the self. The self illustrations and special effects people are going, I can do that on my own. Yeah. And the people are just like, yes, let's break into groups. And the introverts, oh, no. Anyway, for self-smart, we're going to Ordinary 18, Genesis 32, the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel at the side of the river. And the whole seemed to be in some ways that the whole point of the wrestling was for Jacob to get a new name. And so I used as a special effect an idea that I read from David Lose's blog at In the Meantime, where he talked about what names you go by. What names do you use for yourself? Descriptors do you use for yourself? What names do other people use for you? And to write them out on an index card and just sit with them for a bit. And then as you're looking at all of those names, imagine Jesus coming to you with a red Sharpie and writing over the top of it his own name.
Yeah.
And you are his. It doesn't have anything to do with Genesis. I mean, it's totally Christianizing a Hebrew text, but it was powerful. And I did use that. I did invite my congregation to do that. I don't know how it went. But I did offer them that option.
Mm-hmm. So again, on Ordinary 25, we both used an illustration for the Philippians 1 passage, which is about Paul's desire to go to be with Christ and his desire to stay and be with the church, and that he's hard-pressed between the two. And we used for an illustration a scene from the recent documentary on the Vietnam War that was on PBS about a soldier whose group is platoon.
I think, yeah, he was a platoon leader,
I think. He was the platoon leader, and they had come under fire. And
really
guys
heavy fire.
Were getting killed all over the place, mm-hmm. And he said a prayer, "Lord, if anyone else has to die, let it be me. Save my men." And then he said to himself, "What am I saying?"
Exactly. But that was it. And that was the end of the casualties in his platoon, and the firefight was over with, and there were no more deaths.
Yeah, but that I want to go, I want to stay.
Right. Yeah. Kind of being on the in one, well, and also the idea that he said this because it was his desire for other people. He was outside himself and was not taking any concern for his own safety and well-being. He wanted to be sure that his people would be okay.
Yeah.
Which is the reason that Paul said
it's actually the flip of what
it
Paul
is.
Wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, because Paul is saying,
I really want to go be with Jesus.
It's
for me.
Right, that's good for me.
If I stay, it's for you.
Right, and so this guy is the other way around. It's like, take me, don't take them. Blah, what am I saying? Right, yeah. And it was if you get a chance to see that documentary, go watch it. It was remarkable.
Very, very good stuff.
Be sure you have Kleenex.
Lots and lots of that.
For Ordinary 28, we're looking at Exodus 32, where the people have messed up in Sinai and they've worshipped the golden calf, and God is like, "Grr!" And I'm going to take them out. And it's good. And the Hebrew that is used in this particular passage harkens back to Genesis 11, where God is angry with humanity and regrets having made them, and so is going to wipe them out in the flood. And Noah is the only righteous one, and so God starts over through Noah. The same deal as he makes with Moses. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to start over with you. But just that group of people, not the whole world. I'm going to take them out. I'll start over with you. And Moses says, think about that.
Promised.
You said. And then Moses calls God back to God's self and God's promise. And I used as the title for my sermon, "Can you imagine?" And can you and the idea of, could you imagine being Moses in that time and calling God to account?
Yeah.
Wow. It was the depth of that relationship that Moses had with God at that point in time. They'd been through so much together that Moses could say, "Look, I know you. This is not you. Here, have a Snickers."
We used that one, too.
We did. We did use that. I don't remember where we used that one, but we used it somewhere.
And not too long ago. Yeah. Maybe it was that same episode.
It might have been. It might have been.
You're not you.
And then another one from Ordinary 29 the next week, from the Gospel passage in 22 this time, with the idea of reconciliation. And used a quote from a woman named Debbie Thomas, who was writing, I think, at the Christian Century, saying that if I really belong to God, if I really am fashioned in God's image, then I need to practice my faith and my politics in ways that show this. Mm-hmm. I think that was the coin being made in God's image, rendered to God. What is God's? Yes, that is what it is.
How'd it turn out?
I don't know. Oh, the sermon? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I have to admit, that was really more for me, I think, than it was for my congregation. You know, the political discourse in our country has not been awesome.
No.
And so I've been noticing that there are times I would really like to lash out. Mm-hmm. But if I claim that I am created in the image of God and that I bear Christ's light within me, I can't.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to see people who are saying just stupid, dumb stuff as children of God and treat them as such.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean letting them say harmful, ugly, abusive things, but it does mean, they say something and I come back, but, you know, engage.
Engage, but don't mimic their bad behavior.
Right. Or give them reason to escalate.
Right.
Or escalate yourself.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I think it's interesting that the more extroverted of us had three out of the four self-smart ones.
I do tend to use those more. And I do. And as we go through the passages and we come up with things for our worksheets, I am usually the one that finds stuff for self.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. And you're the one that finds things for people.
Yeah.
Which is weird. You'd think it would be the opposite way. I guess we're just playing to one another's weaknesses then and propping each other up.
Yes. So that's it for the feedback loop for now. Stay tuned to our regular weekly episodes of More Than Hearing for more specifics about each week's offerings. We'd love to hear from you, too, letting us know how your multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects turned out.
Leave us a comment on the website, www.morethanhearing.org, or on facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or send us an email at connect@morethanhearing.org, and we can include you in the next feedback loop. Until the next time,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
This is a Whip It Good production.